You became president of TU June 1st, 1958, and you served until 1967.
Uh-huh.
The lead up to that, did somebody come to you and said, we're tabbing you to be president? Did you campaign for it? How did you become president?
Well, they had a search group made up of very good men, and I wrote a letter of application to that group. And they must have read it because they asked for an interview, and I had an interview. They asked me questions about what I thought about the university and what I thought I could do for it. And I told them I thought I could do good for it, but I did not think I could do good for it for a long time. That there were a lot of things I wanted to do, and being president of the University of Tulsa had never been one of the things I had wanted to do. I had wanted to write, and I had wanted to act, and I had wanted to take the job NBC had offered me. You know, and so, but I would be delighted if they should so judge to work for the University of Tulsa for a period of time. And at the end of that time, I would say to them, nunc dimittis. And the reason I'm clear on what I said to them is because I've just said it to the people here at St. Simeon's. I've written them a note that I'm not going to write a column for them anymore. And the Board of Trustees looked at me and I said, you're not supposed to know what that means. You're supposed to be an Episcopalian if you know what that means. And it means, please let your servant go according to your word. So at the end of a period of time, I had a meeting of the board and I said that to them. And to my astonishment, some of them cried and they adjourned the meeting and walked out and shook my hand. And one man said, you're the smartest man in the room. And the other man said, Well, anyhow, it was kind of a shock to them, but they had the fun of looking for somebody else, and I had the fun of looking to do the sort of thing that I still had not yet done, and it worked out beautifully.
The reason they knew you so well is that since 1952, you had been the administrative vice president of the university.
They knew me as somebody who believed that a university should get along on tuition and what it earns on the side. And we were earning nicely. And we were earning so that the government couldn't complain about our earning. By the time I was ready to say nunc dimittis, we had the abstract service. We had a business abstracting every article written about the oil industry in every language and printing it in American and selling it to American oil companies. And we could sell them the abstract and we could sell them the full article. And that sale meant money to them because it saved them trying to find somebody to translate an article that they desperately need about fracking or some esoteric thing, and the University of Tulsa could translate it for them. And so we have a team. We must have 20 people out here working on translating for the abstract service, which still goes on and which is being paid for by the oil companies. And that job, plus all the research that's going on what we call the North Campus, but which we have sold to the Technical College of Tulsa. We sold that building and all that facility to them, and that money went into the building of a very fine, brand-new engineering building on the Kendall Campus, the Keplinger Building.
Talk about the purchase of TU's North Campus.
We didn't purchase it. It was given to us. OU paid for its campus. We never paid a nickel for ours. And I'm not being indiscreet, I hope. The University of Tulsa was a friend of the Standalone Oil and Gas Company. And the Standalone Oil and Gas Company knew me the way that the trustees knew me. I had worked for them. And the Standalone Oil and Gas Company had employed me when they needed somebody to write a letter and a speech or anything where it got a little beyond what the oil man could write. I wrote it, and we practiced it. At first, I was on the per-speech payment. And then eventually, I was on the regular payroll because I became their consultant in everything except the oil business. And that friendship got us an ear when I just learned that they had moved out of a building, a perfectly good building that I'd been in many times, that they were just letting it sit there till they found a buyer. And all the equipment in it and all the furniture in it was going to go to that buyer. And I said to the man I worked for, because I knew the company pretty well.
Standard Oil.
It was Standard Oil Company of Indiana. But the company here was Stanolind. And the man at Staniland, I said to him, you know, that furniture, all of it is better than anything that the faculty at TU sits on or writes on or keeps records in. So when you find out you can't sell it, you can give it to us and get a tax write-off. He didn't know about the new law that said that corporations could give things away and get a tax write-off for it. And I had read that article and knew they could. And so we started one of the most interesting things that a university ever did. We started a furniture business. And we hired a man to do refinishing. We'd get a load of furniture and deliver it to TU, and he would refinish it and get it up to it looked brand new. And the deans had made lists of who got what so that I didn't get into making enemies every time I gave out a piece of furniture. We had so much furniture, and they wanted to get that building off their hands. And it turned out they needed a place to store the furniture until we could get it. And then they could sell the building. And KVO said, well, we'll store it for you. So all my friends rallied to the job of helping Henneke get the university going. So KVO stored the furniture, and we took the pieces out and refinished them. And then the pieces that we had were refinished, went to faculty, and the pieces they had been using, we took away from them and gave to churches and schools that needed tablet armchairs and things like that. And they were very happy, and we were glad to get rid of all this stuff that we couldn't use anymore.